everybody. Fantastic episode of The Morning Show today. We discussed the $63 million blast exploit and overnight recovery. We talk about how crypto price action may play out in the next 30 days, and we check in on the state of Web3 gaming with Kix. It's actually a very information-dense episode. We talk about NFTs also on Ethereum and other chains, as well as a little bit of discussion of meme coins. Overall, it's a great episode of the show. We have our Bodogos NFT NYC event. It's next Thursday from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We've received quite a bit of demand for the event, so if you are interested in going, make sure that you RSVP. We'll be sending out an email today. We will see you guys in New York and hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Choose Rich podcast, where we choose rich every time. Today, we are going to discuss the $63 million blast exploit and overnight recovery and how crypto price action may play out in the next 30 days. We'll also check in on the state of Web3 gaming with Kix. Really, really excited to sink our teeth into this one today. First time that we saw Kix since he went quasi-viral for something that he thought was a super normal thing to do. Kix, what was going through your mind when you went and brushed your teeth in the streets, the busy streets of San Francisco, like this?
Yeah, I mean, long story short, I packed a brand new bottle of Tom's toothpaste, and they confiscated it on the way to San Francisco because it was about 3.5 ounces, and I didn't want to deal with check-in bags. And then I forgot to get some that night. So the next day, I'm going 24 hours without brushing my teeth. We're about to go to GDC. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to go to the Walgreens. I'm going to buy toothpaste, toothbrush. My wife was like, why didn't you just fucking use the Walgreens bathroom, Nick? Why didn't you just do that? And I said, you know, frankly, I didn't think about that. Also, the fact that Easy saw a guy smoking crack in the streets that morning, I think it kind of changed the dynamic for me. And I kind of thought brushing your teeth in the street was relatively super normal. So, you know, I threw some water in my mouth, gargled it, you know, just to get some saliva going. Watered the toothbrush, threw some toothpaste on that, started brushing. I'm surprised by that clip because I don't know how there was still so much water in my mouth either. I think, P.O., you mentioned that. But my teeth were fresh, and I closed a shit ton of deals at GDC as a result. So,
well, that sounds pretty epic. Crushed GDC. I will say we did see a human being smoke crack at 8:30 in the morning. The most unsettling thing I've ever seen in my life. Standing on the side of the street, pipe and all, and we just walked by, like, made eye contact, and we were all like, that was that.
That was worse than the gentleman that you and I encountered in downtown Brooklyn, Easy?
Significantly worse. Wow. Not as disgusting, but like the level that made my skin crawl from seeing that in real time. Like I'm talking pipe out, put it in, lighter out, and out, like the whole motion within seconds. I was like, dude, this is California?
San Francisco, man. You know,
Hotel California.
Oh, look at you, Kix. Kix, the part about that video that I got the biggest kick of is how comfortable you looked. You looked very comfortable with the whole thing. And I wonder how long the whole process was since someone was able to snap a video of it. You know, someone was able to capture it.
It was a solid minute. You know, I wasn't brushing for 20 seconds, that's for sure. I don't think I went full, 2 minutes as dentists recommend. But it was a solid minute. And I planned on saving the toothbrush, too. So I put it back in its packaging. Unfortunately, put it in my back pocket. It fell out and toothbrush head hit the San Francisco streets. So had to say sayonara to that toothbrush. But I business expensed it. So it's not even like $4 out of my pocket.
Brilliant pronunciation of sayonara. A regular Japanese speaker. Clemente, do you want to cook this sponsor read?
Well, I want to give a quick reminder to everyone that in a little more than a week, so in 8 days, we're going to be taking over NFT NYC. It's a takeover. It's a takeover, but it is the Bodogos NFT NYC event next Thursday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We got a bunch of stuff planned for it. But by the way, we received a lot more demand than we were initially expecting. We got some demand for it. So if you are already on the wait list or RSVP'd, we're going to be sending out an email about it, giving you additional information about what to expect, ticketing, the process, etc. And if you're a Bodogos holder, you're getting into this thing, whether you like it or not. So if you haven't gotten your ticket, if you're not on the wait list, etc., you can just message me or Guapo in the support channel in Discord. We'll take care of you. But the event is also done in collaboration with Polygon. We are collaborating with them on the media/content side of our vertical, and we're super excited about partnering with them. Easy, I wanted to throw over to you on all things Polygon. You're obviously someone that's plugged in on the gaming side in particular, and Polygon's been crushing some stuff on there. Can you get us up to speed on what's going on Polygon?
No, absolutely. And I think that there is two major things that have dropped in just the past week on Polygon. One in game and one with real world assets. RWAs are gaining massive traction. So first things first with the gaming side of things, they're doing a bunch of stuff, modular blockchains with the Cosmos ecosystem. We just saw their rollout for Wilder World. A lot of people really excited about that. Modular ecosystems built on Polygon are really going to allow for streamlined efforts to actually build in a much more efficient manner. So Wilder World building a full actual rendering of the city of Miami. So real full-scale structures, etc., all built in actual reference to Miami in partnership with Mayor Suarez as well. So a ton of really cool things there going down with Wilder World. If you haven't checked them out, you can right now. They have the Wild Token. They have their Wheels NFTs, a full-blown racing game right now, and eventually some future rollouts for real buildings that you can actually get full NFT assets for everything going on in the city in actual scale to Miami. So if you're waiting for GTA 6, you can actually get into Wilder World, which will be the exact same structure, but entirely on-chain. And then the other thing I do want to call out is an announcement that went live last week on March 19th. It's with Libra, which is TradFi assets on the blockchain. So you can actually get exposure to things from Brevin Howard and BlackRock, which is tokenizing full actual funds from these two entities, which is massive to me. So real world assets, making it significantly easier to get inflows in a compliant issuance for these real world assets. So you're seeing Polygon go all in on things like decentralized infrastructure, going all in on real world assets, and actually, quote, bridging the gap, despite how much I hate that word, by making it a compliant way for you to get exposure to traditional funds through both Brevin Howard and BlackRock. So we're seeing Polygon do a bunch of awesome stuff. This is all done through their Polygon CDK and aggregating it all as well. So awesome structure from the infrastructure plays and awesome developments on the blockchain efforts through Polygon right now, just making massive strides across all fronts.
Awesome. Well, good to hear. And yeah, on the RWA, so the real world assets aspect, that's always been how I like Polygon. And specifically, like we partnered with Courtyard 4 months ago, and they've been crushing it on the real world asset side. So yeah, look, I mean, Polygon's doing a bunch of stuff. If you want to just get up to speed on everything that they're doing, I just recommend following them at 0xPolygon on Twitter. We'll be doing some more stuff with them on the content front later. So stay tuned. But Pio, back over to you.
Well, over to Kix. Pass it over to Kix for the weather report. Go ahead, Kix.
You got it, Coach, man. I'm excited to be back. I missed you guys. Today is it's the weather report. It's Wednesday. There's no date on it. I'm panicking. ETH market volume, 20.6 million. Solana, 12 million. Let's look over at the market leaders. We got Moonbirds up 11% to 0.84. Pirate Nation is down 20% to 0.62. And Peplicator is down 22% to 0.06. Over on Solana, Lil Potatoes are up 24% to 1.4 SOL. That's a Clemente buy right there. Game and Gladiators are up 20% to 3.9. Easy told me about those. And Fergana is down 18% to 2.1. I only hear about these going down. It's okay, though. On Bitcoin, the puppets are down 10% to 0.287. I still missed out on generational wealth there. Node Monkeys are down 12% to 0.57. That's still a lot of money. And RSIC, that Runestone stub, down 23% to 0.045. Still a cook-free airdrop. Over the past 24 hours, Blast farming game Munchables got hacked and had over $62 million drained from its contract. The hack was long planned, with the Munchables dev placing a backdoor in the contract on its initial launch. The Blast team, alongside Zach XBT, managed to recover the funds overnight, convincing the hacker to give up private keys to all wallets holding stolen assets. I'll tell you, Zach XBT was like Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder. That's the energy he was bringing to this hack. On the legal side, KuCoin and its two founders were served with criminal charges from the U.S. Department of Justice, also known as the DOJ, on unlicensed money transmission offenses. In a more detailed listing of the charges, the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, classified Ethereum, Bitcoin, and Litecoin as commodities rather than securities. Over on Ethereum, the Squiggle DAO secured a $1 million USDC loan through Sharda Finance, not Shard, Sharda, backed by 11 Squiggles, including a rare Hyperbolt Squiggle in the largest ever Squiggle-backed loan. Squiggle's floor has been holding steady with only four sales since the news, with three of them being WEATH offers accepted below the floor. The Dow holds 324 squiggles and is expected to buy more following the completion of the loan. Last but not least, Blast DeFi app Juice Finance releases Juice Token via a pool on Thruster, with the market cap opening at around $180 million before dipping to $150 million. Just coming out of the gate hard. The claim for users and investors was pushed today on the back of the Munchables hack, and Juice was directly affected as they had dedicated Munchables pool users could deposit into. They won't do that again. All right, back to you in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual, Kicks. We have the Daily Bone newsletter. It's emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. Got a few stories from there. Coinbase VP, one of the Coinbase VPs, announces that Coinbase will be storing corporate and customer USDC balances on their base blockchain in a move to reduce fees and speed up settlement times. Pretty cool stuff, if you ask me. That's very interesting. Optimism announces an $850 million OP tokens, $3.4 million incentive program to reward builders, OP stack contributors, governance participants, and those creating dev tooling. So very cool stuff to push the space forward. Last story, Avalanche launches community grants program, allowing AVAX holders to vote on which projects end up receiving funding. So really cool stuff from, I mean, those are three great stories, big players in the space. Clemente?
And we have some breaking news. Anime Coin which is from Azuki, has introduced Anime Chain, and this is in collaboration with Arbitrum and Azuki. So finally, some news coming out of Azuki. This explains why they were up 45% in the last 7 days. So nice little insider action going on here beforehand. But wanted to bring that up since that just came out when we kicked off the show.
Insider pump in a situation like this is completely unavoidable. It's just how it works. It's never going to not happen, I think, no matter who you are. As soon as other people are involved, as soon as investors are involved, the information is going to leak and there's going to be a pump. So if you see a random pump in Azuki like this, I saw a DeFarmer tweet about this. He was like surprised that he saw his Azuki bags going up. He tweeted something like, you know, NFTs have been down so bad. I wasn't expecting, you know, Azuki to go up at all. Anyway, first big story, the Munchables Blast story. So I guess, can you give us a breakdown about the $60 million exploit on Ethereum in 2016 and whether this is similar?
Yeah, so I don't think it's quite as similar as the 2016 situation, which actually led to Vitalik rolling the chain back, which was like something a lot of people overlook. Was like, we did do a rollback in 16 to prevent that. A lot of people last night with the Munchables hack, Munchable being a Blast-based game where you lock up ETH, earn an NFT, and it slowly unlocks over time. People were trading the NFT assets. You saw some prominent players put some big capital into it, from Mooncat to Cyrus. I think combined alone, those two had over $500,000 in this. You were able to use USDB, which was not hacked, and Blast ETH. So specifically, the Blast ETH was the one that was compromised and led to $62 million being drained by North Korean hackers. So seems like the North Korean hackers are back. We obviously saw the Lazarus group get involved with Ronin, which was upwards of nine figures when that bridge got exploited. This was a smart contract risk. And it seemed that of all things, it was actually the developers of Munchables who took the money. So it wasn't just a downright hack, but the developers that were hired for Munchables were the same ones that took the funds. And Zach XBT actually posted who the developer was, citing that he was from North Korea, and then posted a very explicit message on what he would do to North Korean hackers in regards to that.
It was interesting to see a lot of spice out of Zach XBT. I don't know if we've ever seen that before.
That was crazy. I don't think we've seen that. But there was like a response comment from him saying, I don't know what that is. I was hacked. And I don't know if he was just like tongue in cheek. Or just being
that's pretty funny too.
I was quite surprised. But then the Munchables thing gets even crazier, because then Pac-Man asked on a forum how to roll back the chain. And I don't know if that was just a meme or like what that was, but he's like, hey guys, anyone know how to do this on an Optimism fork? And that kind of went a little bit viral on that, which was crazy because everyone was like, wait, this is a bad look. And then the dev ended up coming forward because what happened was Blast shut off the bridge out. So luckily, because it is an L2, they could stop the bridge out from the ecosystem, which basically made that money stuck in perpetuity. So the developer was just like, oh shit, all right, here's the keys, here's the private keys, I'm out, do what you want to do. There's so many layers to this. Like, this whole situation feels like an onion to me. A lot of deep layers, a lot of emotional attachment to the situation. Turns out there was four developers on this, and it seems that all four developers were the same person. So you had one person getting paid as four devs, back the ecosystem for $62 million, and then the whole timeline was actually pretty adamant about rolling back the chain. It seems like a lot of people were like, dude, screw decentralization. And me personally, I've been an advocate for like decentralization is a farce. People don't actually care about it, especially in situations like this where who cares? Like there's $62 million and Blast should do the right thing here and make sure their users are happy and content. Losing $62 million is an absolutely astronomical number. And I think this just goes to show as well that like, depending on your bag size, you should definitely do more due diligence than just following whales. Because you saw many of the whales here be like, it's not a big deal. Like this, yeah, this sucks. Like, oh, too bad. 300K gone. Like, eh, I'll get the next one. Where you have people who are like, dude, I put 5 ETH and my entire bag is 5.2 ETH. Like, well, I don't know what to do.
If you did that. I just want to go out there.
Okay. You say that, but dude, there's been so much crazy volatility right now and so much upward potential on Blast and Base that people are just trying to chase. And it reminds me so much of 2021 that like when you have these crazy negative situations, this is like not a crazy outcome. So like, I think the main thing here is like that Blast rollback would have actually helped more of the everyday user than the whales, because there were so many people who lost monumental sums of money that really are catastrophic to them. And yeah, it's dumb, but like it's dumb in hindsight. Like at the time they were making money. It was a great trade. It was a great play. Munchables had a ton of Blast gold to go out. It seemed like a very logical thing. I hate the name, by the way. Like when I say this, I feel like I'm in like kindergarten. I'm eating a fucking a pocket pizza thing from one of those stupid ice cold trays. Drives me crazy. And on top of it, I feel like we saw this art as well on ETH for like another Ponzi that I definitely still hold. And it seems like we're just copy pasting this stuff. But all in all, like I think they did the right thing. They didn't have to revert the chain, which was good. They ended up just getting the keys. So, quote, the decentralization argument is still alive. But yeah, pretty chaotic time. What's even wilder is this all played out in like the span of 4 hours.
Well, I hate to hit the market with some tough love, but if you're gambling all your money into a random ass crypto brand new Ponzi scheme that's been out for 5 days, you know, like at the end of the day, you're probably going to lose that money gambling on something else right afterwards, even if you had a monumental W. That's like preposterous behavior. Yeah. You'd maybe be better betting on MMA. Like you actually maybe would be like just bet on like heavy.
At least
favorites.
You know, like you're going to be able to withdraw your money. Like, you know what I mean? If you win, I mean, this is like a Tamagotchi game. Like you guys all like threw $60 million into like an on-chain Tamagotchi game. I mean, there's so many things wrong with this. Like, first of all, yeah, if you threw some money in and you lost it, well, hey, now you got refunded. So you're good. Maybe you get some Blast gold. Now you're up. Awesome. Good for you. Right. But even if you lost the money, right, you lost some of your money. Oh, well, that happens in NFTs. That's not the end of the world. Right?
Is that the art?
Yes.
So it's this AI
is, this
art.
This is Midjourney yes. AI art. This is like yes. Absolutely oh my God. Garbage. The bigger problem with this is what happens in like peak bull degeneracy is no, everyone is so greedy about chasing the bag, getting in early, making some money so they can dump on other people that they don't do any or care about anybody doing due diligence whatsoever. This contract wasn't even verified. What that means for the layman means that like you can't go to the contract and easily read what it even does. And people still put $60 million into it. No one absolutely cared. Then you go over and look at the team. How the fuck do you not know your lead dev is North Korean? Like, first of all, you're in the tech space. This is like being in Silicon Valley, like pitching people in Silicon Valley. And they're like, who's your CTO? And you're like, I don't know. Online, he goes by the name SmurfCat87. Have you heard of
him? Way better name. Way better name. Like, Werewolf, if you don't 3046. Have a dev,
yeah. If you don't have a dev a part of your core team, it shows you're not serious in crypto. It just shows you're not serious whatsoever. If you don't know who your dev is, it just means you're getting in to make a quick bag. So this is just an example of a team getting in to make a quick bag, a bunch of users getting in to try to make a quick bag, and little did they all know there was a North Korean in the middle trying to make a quick bag. You know what I mean? So it's when three groups of people try to make a quick bag hit head on in the middle, you get an explosion. So.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's not the first successful, near successful, but you know, the first example of North Korean hacking in crypto. If anybody remembers from the previous cycle, 2022 era, North Korean hackers hacked the Ronin Bridge from Sky Mavis, Axie Infinity Sky Mavis, you know, biggest blockchain game at the time, perhaps still technically the biggest one by volume.
Still the biggest game, still the biggest blockchain for gaming.
There you go. The Ronin chain, RON token. I know Kix has RON token. I also do. And I had it at the time that the North Koreans hacked it. And that was to the tune of $625 million at that time. They actually recovered in record time. They benefited from Ethereum crashing by literally over 50%, but they returned all of the lost funds. But it was a $600 million hack with North Korean hackers being responsible. Yeah, March 23rd, 2022. So just about 2 years ago, almost to the day. Wild stuff at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
And Kashmir said it's fully not confirmed that the dev was a Korean. You're correct. That's a problem. Guess what? Like, I know, like, the CTO at Tilt Yard, I know his family. You know, I know everything about him. I know everything about everybody on our team. If you are in crypto and you're you don't know the person that you're dealing with on the other end, and they are the dev, right? They're literally the guys building the Fort Knox for you. That's just the dumbest thing of all time. Like, that's how this kind of shit happens. And I'm not even trying to preach from a high hill, dude. I minted Pixelmon doing 5 minutes of research. Then I found out the guy behind it was like this 20-year-old from New Zealand that his claim to fame was a $6,000 Kickstarter the year before. You know what I mean? And I gave this guy 15 grand. So, like, I'm not even trying to talk from a high horse. What I'm just saying is, this is a sign that is getting a little crazy in the streets when this kind of money is shooting around at these kinds of things. I mean, look at that Munchable art, dude. Like, what the hell, dude? Like, what kind of filter do they have on that shit, dude? These little, I want to punt that thing. I want to punt one of those little things, see how far I can kick it, dude.
As soon as you see the AI art like this, then you just have to run. It's a different thing if it's like an actual AI artist, but honestly, it's not even worth discussing anymore. The interesting thing is things are going to get exponentially weirder. You know, I see people on Twitter say, like, you know, it's frothy right now. It might be the top. It's frothy. I'm like, dude, you really haven't seen anything yet. Literally give it another calendar year. Let's get an ETH ETF across the line. Let's do another calendar year of multi-hundred million dollar daily inflows into the Bitcoin ETFs. I mean, holy shit, it's going to get so weird. How weird is it going to be when MicroStrategy stock costs $5,500 next year? Do you think it's going to be super chill? It's going to be weird as hell, and there's going to be stuff like this happening all the time. So don't gamble all your money right now. Wait till next year to blow all of it onto a random project. Anyway, on the blast farming front,
can I just do one more thing, Theo? So the funniest part about yesterday, and it just shows it's even more that this is out of control. The Discord, there were like three people in the Bodago's Discord last night. They were like, yo, guys, I'm scooping up this dip on Munchables, dog. Like, I'm getting all so much blast gold.
Buying the dip on a random ass AI art project that's been out for 96 hours.
They did a 2X, so I will say they pulled it off. So it was, anyways.
Well, Mente, was this post hack news?
Yeah, it was post hack news. So the
that I kind of fucking love and respect, dude. You know what I mean? That's like you hear that, like, you know, some bank robbers just cleaned out the bank and you're like, let me buy some of that stock. Let me get some of that bank.
It's like, let me go deposit my money in that bank because I'm the only one who's going to get the yield. I'm getting the 5% for myself.
Exactly.
Shit. Oh, dude. So real quick, this is off topic, but a commenter, Ebrink, just said, Pio, have you seen Robinhood stock lately? So I don't own any Robinhood stock now, but I talked about it on this show like 5 months ago. I bought a little bit of it, but then I was like, what am I doing? I took the money. I'll probably put it into Bitcoin. But I figured he brought that up because it was down. I just pulled it up. It's pushing $20.
Pushing 20
it's bucks. It's cooking.
Man. You still got some of them stock options?
No. No, everything's gone.
I bought it when you bought it because I was like, that's a great idea. I also sold it into Bitcoin and I have no regrets.
Yeah, I don't care. It's fine.
Pio, they rolled out a freaking awesome credit card yesterday.
It's sick.
Really?
36 grams of gold. Pure gold.
The benefits are actually just insane.
I'm not kidding. It's pure gold. And if you refer, I think 10 people, you get the gold card for free. That's sick.
Super cool. Look at this. 5% cash back on travel when you book through Robinhood Travel Portal.
Look at Are these we competing? Guys, man. They're getting into travel business.
Are we trying to disrupt Expedia, Robinhood? What are we doing here? That's interesting. Why didn't my friend that still works there give me the insider information out of this?
This is awesome. Use it with the whole family. Set limits on your wife. That's what they didn't put that there, but that's what they meant by that.
Well, that's interesting. Wow, it's literally over $20. Look at that. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, it hasn't outperformed AVAX, Bitcoin, MicroStrategy, insert a bajillion other things here, but I thought it was going to go up and it did. Anyway, back to Blast farming. So at this, like, what is the state of affairs with Blast exposure right now? Like, Easy, are you getting in the mix with Blast? What's going on now?
Yeah, I'm pretty heavy into some of these Blast things at the moment. YOLO games, which is literally just gambling, like a pure form of gambling. I have about 1 million points on there, which I'm comfortable with. I think I'm still top 1,000. So they're going to have a token. Basically, everything on Blast is going to have a token, and then you can also earn Blast Gold. So Blast Gold is like a points boost. You get like some concurrent points, and people are selling Blast Gold OTC for like each gold is, I want to say, $150, $180 per gold. So it's just like additional points that are going to become something down the line, whatever the Blast token ends up being. We've seen Blur Staking is for Redacted. So there's a bunch of stuff like that that I think farming Blast right now is not a bad move. That's kind of where my head's at. And I'm in Crypto Valleys, which is basically DeFi Kingdoms on Blast. So we all know how DeFi Kingdoms ended last time. We all lost a bunch of money. Shout out Jewel. Shout out the hack there. So of course I'm running it back. Of course. And same thing.
Basically, this one seems fun. They got some fun gotcha elements, huh?
It's pure.
I call you Mr. Potato.
Dude, I rolled 38 out of 40 potatoes, spent $200 per roll. Like, just
you got a little Irish in you, don't you? A little Irish potato famine over there, buddy.
Yeah, it's not a potato famine.
There's
a plethora of potatoes, Kicks. An absolute smorgasbord of potatoes on my farm. And it sucks because potatoes give you 50% of your cost. So I'm just losing money. I'm hemorrhaging it. But there's a ton of stuff to be doing on Blast, in my opinion. It's interesting right now because there seems like there's a pretty distinct divide of people going either Blast or Base. Base is, a lot of people are going for the NFTs and meme coins on Base. A lot of people going for the Ponzi schemes on Blast. And I think it really comes down to like where you want to allocate your time. Base is a little bit more aggressive right now. It's like, go in, mint NFTs, flip NFTs, go in, buy meme coins, go crazy, hope they 10x. Blast is like, go in, deposit a ton of capital, and just click a couple buttons every few hours. So it really depends where you want to spend your time. Both seem like they have a bunch of opportunities right now. And for Blast, I'm on Crypto Valleys, YOLO Games, and I'm waiting to see like some of these others that are coming out, because all of them right now are, quote, games, aka gambling with a fun UI, is literally how I look at it. And a lot of them have not allocated their Blast Gold yet. So you're going to see more of these projects announce how they're rolling it out. Like, for example, Crypto Valleys, easiest way, click the buttons. You get experience points. They're giving 75% of gold to experience points. They're giving some to the PFPs and some to the highest stakers in the game. You look at YOLO Games, they're giving it all based on how many points you have. Really simple thing. Go in there, gamble your money. Hopefully you don't burn it, and get Blast Gold. So you're seeing a bunch of people try to take a bet right now on like, is Blast Gold going to make me EV positive if I go minus 5% on my cash flow? And that's kind of the thesis right now.
Yeah, I get at my local casino, I get a little player's card and I get points on that too.
Mm-hmm. Basically the same thing.
I lose my shirt on craps, but then I get, you know, I can sit down at the all-you-can-eat shrimp dinner. For free.
You don't get a free hotel room at the Blur Casino. That's a fact.
Did anybody catch Pac-Man? I think it's his first video interview or his first interview period where audio is captured, like a formal interview on Bankless. I watched about 15 minutes of it, really was enjoying it. Had to go do something else. I'm going to come back to it. I've been saying the kid's like a special kid. I want to listen to the whole thing, but did anyone catch
it? Watch the whole thing. It's really good.
Yeah.
Bankless asked some really good questions too, which was
This is their wheelhouse, man. This is literally layer two Ethereum. I'm sure they're asking questions like, you know, what role is Blast going to play in the 2024 presidential election? You know, like, will locomotive trains be built on Blast within 5 years? Yeah. Like, really great stuff.
They said, have you weighed in and really started to consider the geopolitical issues that are ongoing and how will Blast resolve what's occurring over in whatever country pick You know, so yeah, they're adamant about it. Climate control, solvable by blast. It's been electric, to be honest.
I'm just giving them a hard time. Really enjoyed the interview. They did a great job.
And I like the silver hair, though. He seemed like a little bit of more of like a, you know, Sonic kind of, you know, with that look. But oh, hey, I get it. You want to go, you start building blockchains, you got to raise another $400 million. You got to have to dye the hair back to black, right?
Oh, his mystique coming out the gate was crazy. I mean, crazy. Now he's looking like a regular kid, but like his mystique with the blonde hair, just one picture of him, you know, ethnically ambiguous. Oh, man, crazy mystique right there.
Ambiguous. He's not even a kid, dude. He's like 6 years younger than you, right? Wait, no, you're as old as me.
He's like 22. Like
9 years younger than us.
He's young as hell.
He's 12 years younger than me. Holy shit.
I don't know if he's 22.
High
I think
school
he's like,
dropout, Y Combinator graduate.
Like MIT dude, dropout too. Double
MIT
dropout.
MIT dropout. Yeah. Like this dude is smart as shit and just realized school ain't it. He's like, I can learn more just reading on the internet.
They don't teach you how to roll back a blockchain at MIT. Maybe they do. I don't know.
They don't have Y Combinator either because Mans posted on the forum and was like, hey, so we're using an Optimism fork cloud.
That's got to be fake, dude. That's got to be
fake. I think
so.
I think it was. No it was just way. Hilarious to see.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, no blockchain classes at MIT since Gary Gensler left. Anyway, moving on to the state of the crypto market, I suppose. Oh, this is my jam right here. So from a broad perspective, Kix, I'm very curious to hear from you. What do you make of where we're at? We got Bitcoin at 70K. We have Bitcoin equities like Coinbase and MicroStrategy pumping, even though Bitcoin's not pumping, which is very interesting. We have Ethereum at 3,600. Ethereum still not moving. People acting like the Ethereum ETF is not going to get approved. My bet is that it will. We have Solana at 186 bucks casually, just casually. You said that you sold 10% of your Ethereum bag at 3550, taking long-term capital gains of a 3X from the bear market. What do you make of what's going on right now?
Dude, I mean, everything looks phenomenal. I mean, I think the only thing, you know, it's normally sell in May, go away, but I don't think that really applies in crypto. A, B, the halving's in May.
Halving.
Yeah, I'm having.
I like the halving.
I'm having a lot of excitement around that. You know, the haves and the have-nots. But yeah, dude, I'm stoked, man. I definitely feel bullish. I feel good. I took 10% off the table of my ETH stack specifically, just my ETH stack specifically, because I'm like, I want some liquid, right? Because I think that ETH's going to continue to go up. It's not bearish ETH. It's just I want liquid on the table so that when inevitably more opportunities appear over the next 6 to 9 months, I have a good, healthy stack to dive into. I trimmed a little bit of Solana at 190, but once again, like 10% of the stack, not big sells, just trying to get some cash on my long-term capital gains because I'm paying way less and then go, you know, degen that money into stuff like Munchables. But I'm feeling great, man. You know, gaming bags look great. Like Ronin's 440 right now. So that's my biggest bag other than Ethereum right now. Parallels looking phenomenal. It's up in the 20s. Things are looking good, man. I'm stoked, man. I'm also really happy that you guys called me an idiot if I sold my Solana bag at $85.
Well, there you go. We're going to dinner tonight, fun fact, with Ram Alawalia of Lumina Well.
I saw him on CoinDesk today, just in a video pop-up. And that's my boy Ram, man. Love that guy.
He's glowing up big right now. He just got signed to Laura Shin's podcast network, just big signature. You know, Rich Paul negotiated the deal. Just kidding. But no, that's super, super cool stuff from Ram. So we'll have to hear from Ram about what the institutions think about what's going on right now. But yeah, I mean, it's a juicy time. Bitcoin's just hanging out at all time highs, kind of ping ponging around while MicroStrategy pushes $2,000, Coinbase pushes $300, Solana's chilling. Meme coins on Solana are consolidating. It feels like easy. Correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like Wen and Whiff and some of these other meme coins
Whiff
are kind of
the one that's still kind of moving higher, $3.50. So like, that's like sitting pretty at all time high. You know, Wen definitely consolidating. Jupe still under all time high, which isn't really a meme coin, but like Bonk as well. So yeah, I mean,
Bonk
are
too.
But I think it's because we saw in this every single time the send money to this address for a pre-sale meta comes out, the top is in. We saw it with ETH. We just saw it with Solana, and we're gonna see it on Base. We just saw it with Roost on Base. That's when a lot of people end up getting burned. Too many people send to these addresses. You end up not making the 10Xs like a Bohm or 1,000X, whatever the hell it is. which that's a whole different story. Binance owns 51% of Bone, by the way. 51%. And now
Dark Farms. I wonder why. I wonder what just happened wait. There.
Now Dark Farms is in Sotheby's. His newest piece is in Sotheby's. So man launches a meme coin, sells a piece for $218,000 and burns it, sells it all in Boehm, and now is in Sotheby's. And Binance owns 51% of the token. I'm not like a Illuminati type of guy, but I'm just saying something here is a little bit you know, questionable. Yeah. So back to
the 2 days to Binance listing.
Not even 2 days, 12 hours. 12 hours to Binance listing. Billion market cap within 36 hours.
Crazy. That was a cook, though. That was a fucking cook.
But I think the meme coin meta right now is cooling off. I do agree. Like, I think it's cooling off, especially on Sol. I think there's still some plays that are going to be runners. But all in all, I think a lot of it's shifted to base. I think that'll cool off. And please just bring the JPEGs back, man. Pictures are just
bring
way more
the
fun.
JPEGs back.
Yeah. Everyone enjoys the pictures, man.
NFTs are going to obviously come back. There's still so much volume on them when you actually think about it. They're just not the focus of crypto gambling at the moment. Couple things real quick. I'm just reflecting. Easy, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, when we had Giancarlo on the show, I remember before he came on, you and I were discussing what we think could happen with some different assets, including crypto equities like Coinbase. And we were talking about how the idea of Coinbase potentially going to like $600 or $700. I believe it was trading at around $105, $110 at that time. Many people said that was hopium. Here we are nearly halfway there. Should be exciting. You think about a Bitcoin 2x over the next year. Gotta imagine that Coinbase would follow that trend. Also, I asked you about buying Whiff like 4 times over the past few months, and you kept telling me no. And here it is at an all-time high. I bought it anyway, and I have it, and I'm holding it for like a year. But what do you think could happen to sort of large cap meme coins, so to speak, majors in the meme coin space, like Mog, Whiff, Pepe, Wen. I mean, there's more Bonk, of course. What do you think could happen to those over the next 12 to 15 months?
Higher, much higher. Like, I mean, if the underlying asset is going higher, the meme coins will most likely also rally higher. It's just kind of like what happens. You know what I mean? Like, That's how I look at it. I'm like, if Sol goes up, meme coins are going to go up as well. It's just how the market trades it. It's how it moves. Base running is bullish for ETH. Same idea. You know, like that's a good sign in my opinion. And I think we're going to continue to see the underlying assets move up over the next 12 to 16 months, which will drag the entire space higher. So Bonk, Whiff, Wen, pick your poison. I think they all trade higher. Whiff still isn't on the Vegas sphere yet, and it's going to be. I do think that marks the top, personally. Maybe I'm out to lunch. But like,
I think it depends on when that happens. Because I think that these things are married to the broader market, and you can do interesting things like that, and those can be catalysts, but I don't really know if that actually marks tops more than the broad market marks a top, you know?
Yeah,
for sure. And I look to, like, I see Sound Money saying memes will die off. Doge and SHIB rally when the whole market moves. So it's
SHIB went
like,
to $48 billion market cap last cycle. Yeah. No one talks about that. It's the most preposterous fact from the last cycle, in my opinion, if you really break it down.
They don't pump at the same time, but usually the memes lag and then pump when Bitcoin cools. And it pumps way harder. So I do agree. I'm like, sure, I don't think they die off. Like, the big thing is retail right now, and like the tourist, as many people call them, is when like people who are familiar with crypto but may have left and now are back this is wild. The tourists come back and they're familiar with how to trade crypto, but they're not diving into JPEGs like they did in 21. They're diving into meme coins. And like, if one of my favorite indicators ever is Reddit's cryptocurrency channel. Absolutely electric if you don't swing by there. Some of the dumbest takes and some of the best takes all in one place. They're all aping meme coins. And a lot of them aping meme coins on Solana, which is like the first time we've seen that out of any cycle because it's just easier. So I do think, 99% of meme coins will die off. But there are always a plethora of ones that survive. I think Pepe will survive. I think Whiff will survive. I think Bonk, Wen, just because of like inherently what they've launched on and who's behind those, I do think that they rally with the broader ecosystem.
Fading the broader meme coin asset class is asking for Max Payne. One more funny comment from Ebrink. He said, when we get the dog with hat arena,
that will be the top. So in other words, when the Los Angeles Lakers are playing in the Dog with Hat Arena, that'll be the top. Maybe I agree with that, Ebrink. Very funny. Look, on the gaming side, Kicks and Easy went to GDC last week. It sounds like Parallel had some bullish activity happening at GDC. A couple of weeks ago, Kicks tweeted that Prime went from a gaming token to a gaming and AI token to a gaming and AI and Solana token, the ultimate trifecta. What's going on in the Parallel and Prime ecosystem?
Yeah, so dude.
I was just going to say, they're dropping a second token, just for clarity there. Yeah. So Prime will be for the TCG. Their AI token will be the SPL token for Colony.
Called so Prompt.
Prompt. I saw Colony. So, like, I don't know if I'm even supposed to disclose that, but I saw it. It's sick. Like, yeah, absolutely sick. I'm so excited for it. I saw a very early phase of it. The AI hits. The gameplay is going to be sick. It makes me just crazy bullish on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're doing the Blur Blast playbook, right? Like, what's the most bullish thing for a token? You can stake it to get another token. But yeah, I checked out Parallel Booth was sick. AVAX fucking killed it. Easy and I played some Shrapnel together. Absolute blast. I went by the Arbitrum booth multiple times as well. It was so awesome to see like people outside of the Web3 community being like receptive to these games and playing them and enjoying them and approaching them with a curious mind. I said it for a while, like my big thing in this space, I feel like the people that I know that are crushing it the most right now are people that they're just specializing on one thing. The space is so wide right now that you can just, it's so hard to be an expert in AI coins and gaming coins and Solana and meme coins and Base and Blast, right? The people that are crushing it, I know a guy that like in November of last year said, Base is Coinbase's chain. I'm going all in on Base. That's all I give a shit about. I don't care what's happening anywhere else. I'm playing all the Base games. I'm buying the Base coins like DGEN, and he's fucking slayed it. And then there's people that say, hey, I'm just focusing on Solana. I'm trading meme coins and I'm trading DeFi and Solana, and they're killing it. So me, I'm just staying focused. I'm staying specialized on the gaming sector. What I do know is that there's a lot of gaming tokens on the horizon for sure. And you know, there's going to be a wave of them. And I think like, you know, kind of picking and leaning into the ones that, you know, have the, you know, best chance is going to be smart. I think like Nifty Island, I think Easy's been farming that one. I think that one's going to be a very big one, but dude, GDC was amazing, man. It was awesome timing wise, but you know, just going there and like meeting all the people in the space and just like seeing how many legit people are making Web3 gaming, you know, what it is today, was a blast, man.
When we met FaZe Banks in LA, he was, and that's a gentleman that comes from the gaming world, right? The FaZe Clan gaming entity. He talked about how he takes pride in being early as hell to things that are going to eventually catch on and just like staying there early, you know? Yeah. And so he said he saw that with esports, right? Yep. Because I think if you told somebody in 2012 that esports was going to be huge, people were going to, you know, at a global level, watch other people compete in video games in literal arenas in 2012, people would say like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. Out to lunch. So for Web3 gaming to have a presence at GDC, which is GDC the biggest North American gaming conference?
Definitely so up there.
The gaming design conference, I would say developer. Like PAX, a gaming developer. I'd say PAX is probably one of the bigger ones, like PAX East and West, just because you have like the Sonys and Nintendos there as well that are showing like new gameplay. And that's usually what draws like a bigger audience, but it's probably top five, top three.
Yeah. This is more of like a consumer / like industry mix, right? So there's some, there's some consumer people there, but a lot of industry. And then there's other ones that are like totally consumer facing, like BlizzCon and stuff like that. But I mean, it was awesome seeing all of the, I mean, there's a lot of focus on AI right now, especially in the tooling for video games, as you'd expect. But yeah, it was a great time, man. There's some big things happening.
Yeah, and Ellie.jpg weighed in, said PAX is the biggest one right now. E3 used to be the biggest, but it's now gone. GDC is more, tech and developer based, which is in line with what Kick said. It's an industry conference. It's still a notable conference, and to have a robust Web3 presence there this early is very interesting. I've got
literally, you go down the escalator, like you get your badge, you go down the escalator, you look to the right, it's the AVAX booth. And literally, they have a huge banner saying Web3 gaming sucks. And I just thought that was the best thing ever just like a subtle kind of troll. And you go down and there's just like shrapnel on the big screen and people are just playing the crap out of shrapnel.
They crushed it. The multiple monitors, open forum for people to actually play the games. Like, I think AVAX just dominated the entire conference. The one thing I will say too is like, from a networking standpoint, I think GDC is probably the best one because there's so many founders, so many indie games, so many just hungry people who are looking to get some eyes on what it is they're working on. Whereas PAX is more like a retail consumer focused side where they're seeing big announcements from Epic. They're seeing a big announcement from Sony and Nintendo, and just seeing GDC have such a strong presence from AVAX, Arbitrum, Metagames and more. I was like, oh, this feels good. Like, this feels really good.
I'll tell you what I saw a lot of at the AVAX booth, Bodagos. First of all of like the good shrapnel players had the Bodagos pistol. Also day two, if you extract it from shrapnel, you got a Bodago skateboard. I couldn't fit it in my carry-on bag, but these things were sick. They were sick. I like thought for a second in my head, I'm like, dude, I'm going to be like easy. I'm going to have like some skateboards behind. I'm hanging on my wall. And I was like, how the fuck am I going to fit this thing in the carry-on? So I'll have to get a skateboard on the secondary.
We might have some skateboards at our event at NFT NYC. You never know. Right next to me is a gaming laptop. So I'm going to be just tearing up shrapnel, or a gaming PC, I should say. Ooh. Alienware or some shit.
Let's go.
I'm basically just going to body you in whatever game we play.
You got no chance, man. Dude, let's go.
Literally, let's just go. I have natural talent. It doesn't matter that I don't
play. You do have natural talent. You do. I was watching you guys stream shrapnel whenever you were doing that down in Miami or wherever you're at. And Pia, you're a tactical guy. Let's just say, you know, we're in some sort of war. I want to be running with you, man. Because we may not have like 10 years training with the guns they give us, but you and I, we're gonna be tactical. We're gonna know how to kick down some doors, clear some rooms, man.
Yeah, I have a militant mind. I just know which way to move. Clemente, was there something you want to add here on the gaming front before we move on?
No, good to go.
Good to go. Well, there you go. Next. Clemente put a headline. He said, things feel weird right now. We had Ordinals go on an insane run a month ago, then meme coins, then pre-sales, and now it's kind of all over the place. It doesn't feel like more people are in the market.
Things feel weird right now is like someone like at their first Burning Man, like day three, you know, coming off an acid trip where they thought they were Jesus for about 4 hours, and then they're eating their peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they're like, things feel weird right now, dude.
That sounds like Clemente. Clemente?
I just don't know what the hell's going on. Like, it genuinely feels like, other than the meme coin market, that it's the same group of people in the casino, just with more money, and they're more risk on. Like, people are just like, oh, there's, but it's this, what's scary to me is it doesn't feel like we have more people. It's just, hey, this group of like, call it $5 million in liquidity and X amount of wallets just rotates from one thing to another, and they just pump the living daylights out of it. X amount of people win, X amount of people lose, and then they just move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of realized gains. There's a lot of recycling of money. People are taking money and then putting it into the next thing and putting in the next thing and putting in the next thing. Also, it does feel real spread out, meaning, right, like there's so many different chains where things are happening. There's so many different verticals where things are happening. If you just hop on a Discord and you hear what people are talking about, it can be like overwhelming because you're just like, wait, like, everything's happening. Like, people are just rotating super quick, right? They're like, oh, let's go over to base and do all this stuff. And then it's okay, now it's back to Blast. The like rotation from Solana to base to Blast was like a 5-day thing. It felt like, you know what I mean? That like the consensus moved to these different things. So there's definitely a lot of chasing, definitely a lot of rotating. I think it really like where we're going to see like that move. I think, Clemente, what you're kind of saying is like, when are we going to see just like that kind of broad leg up, right? And I think that's dependent on the majors, right? That's dependent on Bitcoin and ETH and Solana to an extent. Like, you know, Bitcoin goes to 100K, then we're going to get more participants, money go up. But yeah, right now it's definitely a lot of, you know, shuffling around for sure.
There you go. So Clemente, you have a hanging thesis. You know, I'm going to ask Rom about how many hanging theses he has. So Clemente's hanging thesis is if you take the same NFT project, you put one on Blur and put one on Magic Eden's royalty enforcing marketplace, then the Magic Eden collection is going to outperform the other. And the example you have is Utes and D-Gods. One's on Blur, one's on Magic Eden. There's no farming on Magic Eden. It's all organic. In the last 7 days, Utes are up 35% to 0.36 Ethereum. DeGods are up 8% to 1.52 Ethereum. What do people think about Clemente's hanging thesis here?
Clemente, your thesis on this is that the NFT will trade higher, and that's purely the thesis. I think
Utes outperform DeGods strictly because there's no inorganic incentivized.
So I got a counter argument for you, Chief. Counter argument.
Hit me.
Let's take a look at CODAs from Yuga Labs, traded only on Magic Eden. Not a single offer on the NFTs with only downward price action. We have the catalyst of Other Side supposedly in the future. Yes, Mutants and Apes also down. Look at how much harder Other Deeds, CODAs, Heavy Metals, and more have fallen in comparison. So there may be inorganic price action, sure, on Blur, but I think there's also, quote, your organic price action means less volume, less activity. That's kind of the other side of it, where volume reigns supreme in my eyes, and in upward momentum cycles, Blur NFT assets could theoretically outperform because significantly more volume will be traded there. There is also bid offers, all those other things. On Magic Eden, those swings may not be as volatile. It may be more progressive as people are buying, selling, etc. So we've seen CODAs dump dramatically in comparison to some of the other plays here.
I think part of it is the fact, like, I think these need to go through a reset period. Like, for example, like I'm going to use CloneX. Let's just throw them out there, right? CloneX right now has a 0.6 ETH floor. If these were on Magic Eden, these would be a 0.3, in my opinion, because it would be everyone that once these move to Magic Eden, everyone would be dumping this. There would be no real demand right now. Like if you look at bids right now, there's 440 bids at 0.57. I'm going to assume that 98% of those are just Blur farmers. It's Hanway, CBB, and
you don't believe that 440 people want something that Nike's shutting down this year?
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that there's, like, I'm looking through these bids. There's probably one person that wants to buy CloneX right now, and it's at like 0.4 ETH. So there needs to go through like basically an entire cycle of supply, which is what we're seeing on Magic Eden. I've been very interested by the collections that moved to Magic Eden because all of a sudden you see three sales in a 24-hour period. But when you go through this reset period, I'm like, oh, CODAs are kind of interesting now because you see their true price and the true volume with it. As a trader, it's easier to make a call. But you do see like the downside of that is when these markets have these upswings, collections like Creeps, for example, that were favored by the market in the past now have no volume because people go to Blur and they don't see Creeps anymore. So that's the downside, is basically there is a fixed amount of users that go to Magic Eden. Creeps only with three sales. That's illiquid as hell.
I think they would have been illiquid anyway following the portal drop. I think liquidity would have slowed massively because you finally got the thing that people are no longer speculating on. You have to remember that NFTs are a largely speculative asset on the underlying. So something like this, take a look at volume before Portal existed and volume during Portal and now volume where it is. And I think we'd end up seeing very similar trends where during the Portal speculation was where 90% of the volume existed because it let users speculate on it. Before Portal, there was nothing. Lumi, tons of speculation. Lumi, nothing. So it's kind of like in catalyst-driven markets. I mean, dude, go look. Azuki's on there as well, but I don't know which one's royalty enforced. Like they did partner with Magic Eden. So
they did royalty enforcing, but it could at the end of the day just basically be even a non-factor because as I was writing all this stuff, literally the next day, Pudgy Penguins and Lil Pudgy's pumped like 60%. And it would like didn't matter how many people were dumping. It's just real volume steps in, and that's what actually happened.
And it sends it on either way. Yeah. And that goes for buys and sell side, in my opinion. Like if the market wants to dump, they're going to dump. The market's going to sell off. If the market wants it to go higher, it will. Like don't fade the market. That's no matter where it's sold. Buyers will find it. Like you're looking at, dude, Blast, you could basically only buy it on Mintify. As crazy as it is, Blast NFTs or that Element Market bullshit I was trading on. Dude, there was multiple people printing like 10, 20Xs on those damn things. And I don't think a single person would have been able to point you as to where it was happening. Base NFTs traded on OpenSea. So there's going to be, if people are trading something and they see monetary gain potential, they'll find it. It doesn't matter if it's OpenSea, it doesn't matter if it's Magic Eden, it doesn't matter if it's the guy down the street on the street corner that we saw in San Francisco. They'll find a way to make the money.
The thing that's hard for me though with Blur in particular, with Blast too, is like it's hard for me to come up with a fair valuation for this stuff because so much of the price isn't like people are incentivized kind of to lose money almost, right? Or at least a portion of it, which makes it harder for me to say like, hey, should I buy this or not? Versus like ordinals, I'm like, okay, that's the true price. It could be overheated because of people coming in and over speculating on it. But like,
but you, so even ordinals though, we know there's a diamond airdrop for ordinals. We know one's coming. So, yeah. And there's no royalties. So that actually opens up significantly more
marketplace fee.
0.5%. Okay.
So if I could weigh in, and Alfalfa requested my opinion here. So check it out. So I don't think any, you, Clemente, you said true price. I don't think any crypto asset except Bitcoin has a true price. And don't laugh. Like, I'm serious. I really don't think so. I think that Bitcoin has a true price, and whatever you see Bitcoin's price, that is the true price, right? Like at the top of the cycle, it can get pretty weird with Bitcoin too, and then we get the 80% drawdown, right? So, you know, that's the exception. But right now, I think Bitcoin's price actually is the true price, right? NFTs are the riskiest part of crypto, literally, even riskier than meme coins. So you're talking about the true price of the riskiest component to crypto. I think that what you're talking about is very interesting, Clemente, about blur. You're basically talking about blur farming versus not. There's no way blur farming is organic. You're right about that. Like, it's not organic. But at the same time, saying that there's a true price of any NFT collection is incredibly hard to do because the prices move in a really volatile way with the broader market. So if the broader market decides that NFTs are the best place to deploy capital, all of a sudden the price of every NFT will go up. Look at what happened to Pudgy Penguins on a 6 Ethereum floor to 22 Ethereum floor run. And I think it was like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It was a really short time frame. I mean, Easy could correct me if I'm wrong. It was pretty damn quick, right? Maybe it was 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And now what does a Pudgy Penguin cost? Like 12 Ethereum or something? It's
right around there, 12 to 13.
So that's like a big pullback off of a crazy run. It's still 2x from the bottom of the run, but holy shit, that's like a pretty big pullback. So I think anytime you're trying to like assign a fair value to these things, it's not going to be the easiest thing to do. And I think that the easier way to think about it is, which NFTs do I think are actually going to be favored by the market when there's a big broad move up in the NFT asset class? That's the way that I would think about it. I've placed my bet on Pudgy Penguins. You've convinced me to buy a Sappy Seal too, Clemente, and I have a Sappy Seal. I'm down on it, but that's okay because I understand why I have the Sappy Seal. You also tried to get me to buy a Wassy. And I didn't buy that because I was like, I don't understand why I need to buy a Wassy. And I think I would have been pretty upset if I bought that one. You know what I'm talking about?
Because you would have been, you take the 14-month approach, which isn't favorable. You would have just held it forever. If you did what Easy did and not what I did, you would have made money.
Great. Made a 3X.
I think the way we're at with NFTs right now, it does feel like just sticking to specific projects versus trying to bet on the overarching ETH NFT market or Ordinals NFT market. Like, it's just buy what you specifically believe in, and it doesn't matter what chain it's on, what marketplace it's on. If it's the like a good project at the end of the day, liquidity will flow to it no matter where it is kind of what I'm hearing.
That's why I bought Pudgy Penguins, because I said I'd rather have the Pudgy Penguins than the liquid Ethereum. So that's why I bought them. I was like, I'm betting that the Pudgy Penguins outperform Ethereum. And I don't care if Ethereum NFTs don't come back, even though I'm positive that there's going to be liquidity on Ethereum NFTs again at some point. Significant liquidity, I should say, because obviously there's liquidity now. But when I buy the NFT, they could just move to another chain. Who cares? I'm buying the NFT entity. I'm not betting on the chain, you know? Look, we're going to wrap. We can talk about Say NFTs tomorrow. How does that sound, Clemente?
Clemente, did your potatoes your beans go up?
I don't own any, but they did go up. I called the bottom of it, but I didn't buy. Dude, they got all the way down to 0.12, and I was like,
you're kind of like a sports analyst, like you sit on the sideline.
They were 0.12.
No, 0.18. Sorry, 0.18. They're back at 0.27. Yeah, Kicks. I'm kind of like the Skip Bayless of NFTs. I would say maybe.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I see you more as like a Ray Lewis, sometimes on the show, occasionally is caught a murder, but not guilty, and does fairly well. does fairly well with his
Dan Orlovsky, maybe that, you know.
Oh, you're the R. Kelly of NFTs. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what a great show today. Wednesday, March 27th. You've listened to the Choose Rich podcast where we choose rich every time. We'll be back tomorrow. Show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week. It's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, YouTube, X platform video, basically wherever you get your content, it is available. If you want to watch the show, check out the video on X platform or on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the video. I mean, come on, just click the little like button. It's not that hard to do. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Clemente's got the music. I'm sure it's going to be as mainstream as it can possibly get. Play Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Why don't you, Clemente? I'm sure. Anyway,
the key is you got to take us home with